You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Genesis and chapter 28. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy love letter, thy word. Spirit of God, you have to make it find its reality in our own heart and head. So deal with us. Thank you very much. Help us understand. And understanding honor you the more. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Here we are assembled on the Lord's Day, assembled together. That is what the word church means. Church means assembly, assembly, the assembly. Israel, the assembly, the church, the assembly, assembly of a body of people for a given purpose. Assembly. So what's the difference between when we meet like this, and there's all kinds of everywhere, God is ever present, obviously, everywhere. And so are people going to work, God is there. People going to school, God is there. People seeing sports events, God is there. People in homes and wherever, buildings, God is there. God is in religions, God is there. What's the difference, though? There is a difference. It isn't that God isn't, because he has to be, being omnipresent. He has to be, and he must be. So, we're trying to make sure we understand that. And why are we here? What on earth is the difference? What makes the difference? And what do we need to understand to be the difference? Otherwise, there is no difference. So we need to understand something to have the difference occur. So, and we mentioned on Wednesday that, and so we're going to try to take that on to see if we can't refresh our minds and with understanding. Therefore, if I may, going to Genesis in chapter 28, you'll remember Jacob. I'm going to move right along, but enough to get a little something. And here's Jacob, and Jacob has left, and he's headed out to begin his adventures. And in the process, he goes to sleep in his journey, resting his head on a rock, etc. And in doing so, God deals with his head and his heart. Remember the ladder going up and down, angels going up and down, and all of that in chapter 28. So, now, Jacob, you live in the land where your father is and all of that. I do. Well, what's the difference right now, Jacob, where you are? Chapter 28, picking up in verse 15. As God dealt with him, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So God has a wonderful purpose for Israel, and as they're going down, as Jacob's moving, he's going to discover that. Verse 16. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Of all the places you've been, Jacob, of all up in your life, there's no place like that moment. And God made that moment, that whole few moments, hours together, on where you were sleeping on that rock. God made that very, very special. And you knew it, Jacob. You made a distinction between all the other places you've slept and dreamed and this place. It's a dreadful place. It's the house of God. God is here in an awesome way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, you're going to recall, if you can, The God is going to go and deal with Jacob, as we read. God is going to deal with Moses at the bush, Exodus 3, and it's a holy bush, and take off your shoes, for the place where you stand, Moses, is holy ground. It's ordinary ground. You've been there 1,000 times with those sheep. But this time, it's holy. What's holy? What makes it so special? God does. God's there in a special... Yeah, isn't God everywhere? Absolutely. But God was there special. Now, so here's Moses, and at Mount Sinai, remember? Mount Sinai, God is there in a most special way at Mount Sinai, as you remember and know. And that was most holy ground. God was there. And they built the tabernacle, as you know, the tent. The tabernacle was in the middle of the camp of Israel, smack dab in the middle. They could see the tent. They couldn't see inside, the badger skins outside. And uncured, untreated, so that just rough. So it looks, what? That's like your flesh and mine. It's just flesh. It's all dead, but that's what we see. And remember now, Israel does not want to see God, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Israel did not want to know God face to face. They did not want to know God face to face. They rejected that relationship that God made possible. They rejected it. So they end up with a tabernacle, a tent, and God smack and dab in the middle of them, the cloud by day and the fire by night and all of that. All of that wonderful, wonderful things. And it was holy ground. God was there. And God was doing a work in their heart, contrary to what most of them wanted. But God was doing it anyway. God has a wonderful plan, and that plan is going to be outworked. So the ground is holy. And just to keep you busy here, go over, if you can, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 23 again. Deuteronomy and chapter 23, and picking up, if I may, And you'll remember it. That it's special, that camp. Wherever the camp was, here's the big Sinai Peninsula, and they're all over the place in the Sinai Peninsula, up and down everywhere. And in the process, wherever the camp was, that's became what? Holy ground. Chapter 23 and verse 14 again. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. And remember now the context in verse 12 and 13. They had a shovel and they had a weapon. And when they had to use the restroom, if you would, they had to use the restroom, and they would go and outside the camp and wherever they were and use the restroom. And God said, make sure everything's covered. Make sure everything's covered. I'm walking everywhere. I don't want to step in anything unclean. I don't want to do that. It's holy ground. Hang on. Holy ground. Now, having said that about holy ground, so because being holy ground, the people are given an awesome relationship to God, even though they don't understand it. Leviticus chapter 11. And you're going to recall Leviticus in chapter 11. And you'll remember, for time's sake, I'll read verse 43, and you shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall thou make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For reason, I am, verse 44, For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify, set apart, make holy, consecrate. You shall set apart, sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. Why? For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Why not? For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And you keep reading sometime at your leisure. Holy, holy, holy ground, holy people. And they just didn't appreciate it, but it was true. What were they in? They were in the presence of God in a most special way. But they didn't take advantage of it. They could have, but they didn't. They didn't do it. Now, so having, and it became ordinary, and they just murmured and grumbled all too often. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so they're in God's presence, and they're rejecting God, and his wonderful, wonderful work in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, over, if you would, to 1 Peter. And we'll just make sure we make a connection here. In 1 Peter and in chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we are reminded, God reminds us, as believers, verse 15, 1 and 15. Verse 14. Think of what you read in Leviticus. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but in contrary to that, you understand. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, behavior. Verse 17. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And the word sojourning means you're living somewhere, but you're not a citizen. You're a stranger in a land, but you don't belong there, but you're there. So when you got saved, God transferred you from here to the kingdom of his dear son. And there, God, so we're still here. That's right. While you're here, pass the time of your sojourning while you're here in fear. And as we look at the word fear, and as we look at that word, and as we remind ourselves, fear has to do with that on the negative, on the positive side. Fear, trembling, quaking, fear. Now, what on the positive side is the word. And what does fear do? Well, fear causes us to see God as the creator, to see God, he's the only God. He created us. He's the only Savior. He saves us. He created it all, like in Romans chapter 1. And we can't see anything or understand anything in science, in math, any subject you want to study. You're going to end up with saying, God, you are awesome. I don't know any subject in my little head that you could study, that you won't find that. A simple flower, a simple bug. Wow. So here we are looking God, and God, we're going to go and look to you in a very positive way, not a negative way. We're going to draw near to you, our fear of you. You're our creator. You're our Savior. You're our shepherd. You're the shepherd. You're God. You're the Father. So what do? We don't go backwards. We come forwards. That's the positive side of fear, phobos, fear. coming forward. There's a negative side, and a negative side, God will say to the believers, remember the ship at sea and the waves and all of that, all kinds of ways. And he said, why are you so fearful? What are you being afraid of? What do you mean this time? Instead of drawing near to God, positive, you're drawing away from God, negative, fear. Positive, to God. Negative, away from God. Fear of God. I don't want to think about God. I don't want to think about the future. I don't want to think about that. Fear. So here we are, it's past the time of your sojourning here in fear, looking to God. God's the most awesome person, and we need to learn that. We need, but everyone, work, home, school, play, religion, everything. But where? The fool, Psalm 14, that. The fool has said in his heart, where is God? There is no God. There is no God. Where's God? I don't see God outside. I look up, I don't see God. I don't see God. Oh, no God. Uh-huh. No God. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, may I pick up and add, remember, be ye holy, you just read, believers, as I am holy, 1 Peter 1:15, 16. So, having said that, believers are supposed to be holy. They're saved. They're new creatures in Christ if they're saved. You receive God as your Savior in your heart, and you're trusting Him with all your might. And therefore, you have a unique relationship to God, which has nothing to do with anything you did. It's everything that God did. And all you did is exercise and intelligently that relationship to God. So, 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. May I pick up, please, in the light of all the context, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There are two. One's real and one's make-believe. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Four. Ye, you are, plural, you are the temple of the living God. Huh. So, we have the burning bush, we have Mount Sinai, we have all of that. Wow. But now, God in Christ, God in Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive God. You have to receive God. Because He is God. It's God. The only one God, the only one Savior. Wow. Now, so again, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. A very unique relationship. Not like work, home, school. You won't find it out then. You won't find it. No, you find it when the heart receives the Lord as your Savior. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, idolatry and unbelief and all of that. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Remember, we read that in Leviticus chapter 11. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And God, what kind of relationship are we going to have? I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A unique relationship. A unique. You all had fathers. Like it or not, know it or not. You all had them. Have to have them. Have to have a father. And so God, when we get saved, we're to understand you're the Creator, you're the Savior, and you save us, and we have a unique relationship to you, a special relationship in Christ. You're our Father. Now, therefore, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, verse 16, 17, 18, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, Let us cleanse our hearts from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, what are we going to perfect? Holiness in the fear of God. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Be holy, for I am holy. You're going to live the rest of your life in my presence, in my wonderful presence. That's what you're going to do. I'm with you, I'll walk with you and dwell in you, and we're going to go down the corridor of time. And I have a very special way to make that relationship known to the world. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, looking to God and trusting God with all our heart, over, if I can, to all Philippians for a moment. Why not? Because you know that so well. Philippians in chapter 2, remembering, God tells us, and our little word, we're going to have to make sure we understand ultimately here. Philippians chapter 2, and may I pick up, please, in verse 11, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Therefore, here we are, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own, no one else's, salvation with fear and trembling, a unique relationship that you have to God. And you're going to do so in fear and trembling. Remember, holiness. Develop holiness, holy ground, in the fear of God, respecting and honoring. Whose ground is it? God's. Who's God? He's an awesome creator. And there are no measurements, no beginning and no end. There's everything in the everything and forever is in the middle of God, and God is. He that cometh to God, Hebrews 11:6, must believe that he is. Now, so in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God's going to do his most wonderful work in your life as you let him and look to him. Now, in the light of that, need to have fear, an awesome respect for God, and fear. And in looking at that little word, fear, the awe, to be awed by God, to be moved, motivated because of who he is. If you were in front of a judge, the Supreme Court, what? Do you know you could talk out in the street, whatever? But if you were standing in front of those 9 judges, you'd be pretty careful, wouldn't you? You'd be careful. You change. Uh-huh. You're in front of them. Because you're in the presence of those judges. And you do that. So in all kinds of ways. We have respect for judges. We have respect for the policeman. That stops us, and rightly so, and we try to be respectful and helpful and encourage him in these days. The people have authority. God is God. And we are what? Going to be conscious. And as we are learning to fear God, we have to understand God. That's why we read God's word, in order to understand and know him, so that we can respect him. So when he tells us stuff, awesome, awesome things. So God, we're going to fear you, awed, to be awed, reverential awe of your wonderful person, to respect you more and more. You want a little genie or coming out of a bottle? No, you want a big jolly green giant? No, you're God. You're wonderfully, wonderfully God. And the only way we can read is your word, and we learn it. Over to Proverbs. if I can, Proverbs, chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, picking up, please, I'm going directly in the light of all of these context and everything. Verse 9, Proverbs. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy, actually Holy One, God, the Holy One, the knowledge of the Holy, Holy One, is understanding. So God, what are we learning? We're learning to what? To reverence you, to fear you, to respect you, to honor you as our God, as our Savior, as our Shepherd, and all wonder of wonders, as our Father, my Father. Respect, to respect. Now, having said that, over to chapter 1. And you'll recall, I'm just going to do this quickly just so you just get the flavor of it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the, I'm going to keep reading the same thing. Fear God. That's right. You've got to fear God. Well, what does he cry out in the tribulation? What does he have the angels cry to all the people on earth going through everything? Fear God. Fear God. Well, they don't want to fear God. Fear God. Ah, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want fear of God. Israel didn't want to have a fear of God. They didn't want to know God, have a relationship face to face. They didn't mind doing it by way of Moses, ultimately even the prophets, but not by God directly. Thus in Proverbs and verse 20, the wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, business, town, in the openings of the gates of the, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. What's wisdom saying? Wisdom is personified. And if you took time, we don't have time. If you were reading in Proverbs chapter 8 and you turn to chapter 8, what are you going to get? The Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs, the whole thing about Proverbs, wisdom. Fear, wisdom. Who is wisdom? God is wisdom. God is. God is the fear. Fear God. Now, so here we are, stay in the same thing because it'll come easier. Yeah, picking up, please. They don't want to know God. So verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. In other words, that's the negative fear. Instead of drawing to God, we're going away from God. Positive, we're going to God because he's God. We're running away from God because he's God. We don't want him. We don't want him. But you have to. Now, so verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, why not? For reason, verse 29. For they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't want to respect me. I'm not a human. I'm not an angel. He said, I'm God. And you don't want me to be God. You don't want me to be exactly and wonderfully who I am. You don't want me. I reject you. you have no fear. And how are you going to enjoy God's magnificent presence? He's the judge. And if you could just do that, he's like a king, a king. And if you were a son of a king, and you are, Revelation 1:5, you are a son of the king. And we reign with him. Well, here, a son of a king. Do you know what a position you'd have? And everyone bows down to the king. They bow down and they honor the king. But you know, you just hop around and go there, and you could sit in his throne. You could sit at his feet. And you could go and ask him for a quarter to get a hamburger at McDonald's. That was yesterday. For a quarter. Today it's more than a quarter. That's what you could do. Well, God, that's right. I want you to be able to go and honor me like that. I want you to enjoy my wonderful person. And keep reading now in the light of that. They didn't want to fear God. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore will they eat the fruit of their own way. They're going to live their life the way they wish it and be filled with their own devices. They're going to live with the consequences of the way they live. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from all from fear of evil. You don't have to run away. Remember, we're looking at David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, thou art with me, I will fear no evil, thou art with me. Wow. Go on, what do you want? You want to be with us, that's right. I want to go. Get down, I want you to enjoy your trip. I don't want to take you, I want you left here. You're a stranger, you're a pilgrim, that's all you are. I didn't mean you to, they don't belong. So don't feel you got to get all caught up in stuff wrongly. You bring nothing in, and surely you take nothing out. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that little bit in mind, over, if I can, to chapter 2, and without doing all of that, well, let's just do a little bit. I'll do it because it's helpful. My son, so if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, fear of the Lord is the beginning, holy one, and apply thine heart to understanding. Think of Proverbs 9:9. Yea, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou desirest, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand what I'm looking. I'm looking for wisdom and understanding. I can't get it without the fear of God. I'm not going to get it. And when I get it, I'm going to fear God, because that's what it's all about. A wonderful respect to the God's awesome person. Verse 4 again, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Uh-huh. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wow. So God, you want us to look to you? That's right. That's where you're going to get it. And if you have any hunger to know God, but God's everywhere. No, he is, but you don't see him. You don't feel him. You don't understand him. You don't have any benefit, no blessing, no bliss, no privileges. Nope, it's all gone. Not even there. Not even to be found. Over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, picking up please, in thought. And you'll recall, remember chapter 28, the beginning, 1 through 15, it's the blessings for Israel, blessed going in, blessed going out. But after 15 and on, wow, what a long stretch of cursing. A little bit of blessing. God said, if you seek me, you'll find me, and you'll have all the benefits. If you leave me out, let me tell you how that's going to go. Now, hang on. In the light, as you come through chapter 28, and here we are looking at verse 58. Verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear, you need to fear, that's what God gave us God's word for, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. What is that? The Lord thy God. Wow. Then, if you do that, fear God, honor God's name and person, presence, then the Lord, verse 59, will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid, and they shall cleave unto thee. In other words, you can't escape the virus. You can't escape anything. Because we're subject to it. That's why God put an immune system inside of you. So you can live with when Adam and Eve sinned. Boy, we got all the problems. Now, picking up, please, in verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Wow. Now God said, listen, when you honor me, I'll tell you, we read it in 2 Corinthians. Your body, if you're saved, is the temple of the Spirit of God. This body, this immune system, everything else, that's his. I say it 1,000 times to understand that's his body. Wow. And you want to be able to look to God and understand that, because God said, you're a stranger here, and I'm going to get you down through, because I'm here, God. Are you going to get sick, God? Are you going to have problems with the government, problems with the everything? No. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be strangers, pilgrims, on holy ground, looking to God as we travel down the corridor of time. In particular, we're going to see when you come together. Now, hang on. And therefore looking to God, over, if you would please, to Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, of all the different places, just saying it so it's easy. Wonderful psalm, actually, of God's faithfulness. God's absolutely, wonderfully trustworthy, 1,000%. Now, so I'm going to just pick up in verse 5. Psalm 89 and in verse 5. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. God, here we are, here they were, here we are in it, assembled together. God, are you going to be wonderfully trustworthy, faithful? That's why we're reading the word. That's why we want to understand it, because God is going to honor it. He isn't going to honor our dreaming about things and our theoretical thinking about God. He's going to honor about God, who he is, based on his word, his work, his saving grace. Thy wonderful, full verse 5, thy faithfulness, and also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens Who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? And who among the sons of mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Well, no one. Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared. There's your little word. To be reverenced, feared, passive. In the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence of all them, all that are about him. That's what it is. Where's that? Jacob, there's all kinds of places, but there's only one place in that place. That's marked place. That's God showed him. God showed himself there. Israel in the tent, the tabernacle, God showed himself there. And here we are looking to God. And God, what are you going to do? You're going to show yourself in the assembled body of the saints. Now, that's the Old Testament. And here we are in the New Testament, the assembled body of believers, the church, assembled body of believers, assembled before God. That's what we're going to do. God, are you going to be faithful? And what are we doing? We're learning to fear God. We aren't here to be giving different degrees of education or something where you should be getting all that, of course. It isn't that. It isn't a class. This isn't a class. It shouldn't be a class. It's a what? Worship. What is worship? To get you to fear God. To so do for us, in us, and with us, that we would have a sense of your wonderful person and presence. We aren't going to get that in the grocery store. We aren't going to get that even in our homes sometime. That's the problem, isn't it? Because what is the one thing? A class or anything else. You can have a, go to school, Bible school. What on earth happened? Bible school, colleges. We had them all over the place. The 60s came along like we did on Wednesday and that. Where are they today? You won't find them. Oh, now and then there may be somebody that's still out there, but not much. And all the children that were baptized and sat through Sunday school classes, and some of you probably did, and God bless you. Where are they all now? Tell me what we accomplished. What did we produce? Well, we had a system to try to teach, and they're wonderful. That will not sustain you. Having a notebook full of facts, when you go to school, we all went to school in some form, and we went to mathematics, and we went to the multiplication table, and we're supposed to look at the civics, at least it used to be, and the world, the globe, where is Belgium? And who cares anymore, right? I mean, when was the last time you even thought about where Belgium is? You don't need to think about Belgium. We don't have to think. We've got all kinds of knowledge, even Bible knowledge. Oh, I know about Jacob. What good's that to you? It's a piece of information. You want something that changes your life. And that is the fear of God. And without it, dear friends, we're living, our country is paying an awesome price for what we failed to catch in the 60s, going back to that point. We didn't catch it, and it's brought us to where we are. And it's unfixable. Do you understand that? Education system, social system, morality, sex, everything. You aren't going to fix it. Not anymore. It's already in the works. All we're going to do is try to survive it. That's what we're going to do. What happened to the church? Wonderful schools, church. We got everything, but we don't have a God. Where's God? Where's the fear of God? Think of it. How many people do you know in their life, you know them well enough, that you know they have a fear of God? They live like that. with a sense of the fear of God. And you got to have that. Without it, what does you got? So you had another outline, so you could memorize Ezekiel. And with Jewish people, dear Jewish rabbis, when they're tested, the testing committee takes the knife and the pointed thing and sticks it down into the Bible and opens it up. And wherever that point is, that man is supposed to tell you about what it is. Where did that point land? Tell me what's there. You got to know your Bible, but you don't know your God. You don't know God. And you want to help the children. I'm off here, but God help us. Do you understand? You cannot beat, we said it on Wednesday, you cannot beat an hour of class, the most wonderful class in the world. The Lord Jesus, the bestest of all teachers, gave them hours of opportunities to learn. Think of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Tell me where that took them. Where did that take people, that thousands of people, 15,000 or more people that listened, where did it take them? They crucified Christ. Where is all that we have done? It has left us bankrupt. Here we are. We're trying to survive. We're trying to hang in there, a remnant. We're trying to strengthen the remnant. That's all. And if we don't catch this and fix it, I'm telling you, God has to help us. And we've been trying to be a pest to you to think about things and truly relate to God, not just collect information, and to exercise it so you can understand it and enjoy God. This is where the fear of God is to be. It isn't in your home. You won't read that. Parents are supposed to fear God, Deuteronomy 6, aren't they? And so have the Bible, so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If I lived in your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, am I going to be more influenced with that than 1 hour sitting in a class? Who wins? The home does. So what's the sense of me telling you the wonderful fear of God in your home, and the parents don't care about the fear of God? They don't even live the fear of God. And then we're wondering, why does everything go? It isn't going. We didn't do it. We sort of left it. That's why we send them to school. We want to send them to school. We hope the government, we hope that someone will take care of us so that people don't have to be responsible like they used to have. We all are, you guys are, responsible. And the children need to see working through as strangers and pilgrims, working through this. So they see it. If they don't see it, I'm telling you, what's it? You're wasting your time. No offense to anybody. It isn't doing anything. And we got them all lined up. They spent 20 years or 15 years in church, and where are they now? Where's their trust? Where are they looking to God? I don't see them. The hunger that used to be in the 40s and thereafter and thereabouts, you don't find that anymore. No more. Nope, we're on the other end, and we never fix anything. We just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and we never fix it. And we hope that the little kid sitting, I don't mean to be so ahead of myself, the little kid sitting there, God, do it another way, since I'm off, and please forgive me. In the process, if you go to sports, and hear sports, and in the process, and you're there in the television or something, and you're watching whatever it used to be, watching something, and you're doing it, and you're there. Where are you? You're in the home. Where are the kids? Oh, they're running around here. And what are they watching? They're watching you watch the game. And you're on the edge of your seat. And you're talking to the television as if it could hear you. right? And you're there looking, they're gonna go and said, gotta do this, gotta do that. What does the little kid know? He knows my dad's, my parents are caught up in that game. They are. What are they learning? The little kid is learning that the game is real to you. It's real to you. It connects to you. And we do that. And we do that. And there's all kinds of ways we do. When you go to the grocery store and you pick food and the little kid's there and do whatever, they're watching. Well, how about God? Where's our sense of God? Thanksgiving, trust, fear, reverence. We got to have that. I'm telling you, it don't work. I know people want it. They're caught in it like this. I'm not going to change them. That's how we got where we are now. No one wants to change. We want to do what we think will work. Why don't you turn the light on and think about things that they haven't worked and it hasn't happened? And you need to see it. Otherwise, if the Lord tarries and we keep going, I'm going to have to tell you. I don't know. Wow, I didn't mean to get on that. I hope. Over if you would, please. Over if you would. In closing, appreciate your patience and bear with me. I'm just having to look at things as they are and seeing it as it is, as you do. And I don't, and to fix anything, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see the churches changing. I don't see the system, political, where we're headed, where they want to take us, down the corridor to ultimately disaster. But who pays attention to Venezuela, Cuba, China? Who cares? Well, we don't. We're oblivious to that. Wow. Over, if you would please, to Romans. Thank you for your patience and Revelation chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to go directly in the light of it. You know all these things. Verse 36. All of it is God's wonderful worship, fear of God. Verse 36. For of him, of God, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Of him, he's the source, the creator. Through him, he makes everything work out in all of history. History doesn't work without him. And all of it ends up with him, to him. All of it is for his glory and honor. Now, over if you would to Revelation, and in Revelation chapter 4. And you would recall, what is it like to be in heaven? If you and I were to go and pass on, God took us, where would we be? Well, we're saved. Even if we're not saved, we're going to know it. So in Revelation chapter 4, picking up, please, in the end, here's the worship. All of them, thou art, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure or thy will. They are and were created. Everything. That's right. Well, God, it's all about you. Uh-huh, that's always was. You just guys, if not you guys, but people never caught on. Well, I got to have my friend. Baloney, you don't, nothing wrong with friends. Enemies. When God saved you, he took you out from your family, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife. He took you out from that to himself. And you're trying to, you don't belong in this system anymore. And you need to understand that so you can enjoy the trip. It doesn't mean you don't relate. It doesn't mean you weren't involved. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means you understand to whom you belong and that the world isn't going to take you on a trip that sidetracks you from the reason you're here in the first place, is to be a light in the darkness. That's your main job. Who loves you? God does. Who secures you? God does. Who gives you safety? God does. Who cares about your children, family, friends, and all your ills and aches? God does. God does. Chapter 5, closing. Verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him. Worship. That lived forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a wonderful appreciation for God. And that's what we're here, in his presence. That's why we read, to sense his presence. And that, how are you going to beat that? Because you're learning to fear God. You have a healthy sense of God. So when you get out and get in your car doesn't start, you'll be not too bad. You know, you trust God. You know, you do what you have to do. Your hamburger may be cold, but eat it anyway if you can, and just enjoy it, and trust God anyway. That's what you're going to do. And the world's going to look at you in a funny way because why aren't you connecting to all the causals? And No. God saves you from that so that you can be fresh, refreshed, revived. That's our word, underline, revival. That's what we need. A revival in our heart to get on the right page. That's what we need. Our Father and God, thank you for your kindness. God, here we are. So deal with us. Thank you. God, all we can do is try to mumble something out and think about it. But God, if anyone knows it, fixes it, and handles it, it's only you. So we fear. We want to have a awesome, awesome respect, reverence, more and more. God, we want to learn. That's what you said anyway. To assemble men, women, children, the strangers, to bring them all in together, assembled together for what? To learn to fear you in your presence. God, there's no replacing it. There's nothing like it. There's no place on earth, God, like the assembled body of believers in worship, having a healthy, holy, happy sense of your wonderful presence and person. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.